You're watching The American Journal with host Rob Dew. Watch live right now at band.video.
I've heard you talk a lot about the insects being toxic, and I don't know if you remember talking to me before. I'm a horticultural scientist, and I spoke to you about the CO2 a little bit. And
sure, and how it makes the plants grow way faster, and it's amazing.
Right, how we would use it in our grow rooms at three times the level that's average in the atmosphere currently. So hearing you talk about the insects, as a horticulturalist, I have to know about mycology, which is the study of fungi, and entomology, which is the study of insects, because both of those affect plants. It occurred to me that chitin, which you speak about quite a bit, is what fungi are made out of, what mushrooms are made out of.
And I have that in my stack. Let me show TV viewers. Exactly. It's very... Continue.
So that compelled me to research it further because I wanted to know what's the difference in the chitin that's in insects and the chitin that's in mushrooms. And I came to, I wrote an article about it for my Substack, the Bender Observatory. It's at joebender.substack.com. And it's called Eat Z Bugs. And I found that the structures that the insects have on their bodies, that their spurs, spines, and setae, which are like hairs, those I think are one of the causes of toxicity of the insects, because they're these pointy structures that damage the gastrointestinal tract. And also, when you just bite through an insect, you can imagine trying to swallow a piece of a lobster shell or a piece of a crab shell. That's chitin also.
Well, that's right. Everybody knows you don't give chicken bones to your dog because they're pointy and spiky. This is literally at a microscopic level way worse than the most concentrated gluten. I mean, they know it's linked to cancer, colon cancer, bone cancer. I mean, it's just horrible. No one eats bugs that have shells around the world, except a few Asian countries, and then it's like a weird seasoning. This is insane. Well, look at this headline. What do you make of this? Food writer cuts her grocery bill in half by feeding her baby crickets. And there's a big article in the Huffington Post saying, feed your baby bug protein. Well, folks, babies don't eat bugs. Babies don't drink bug soup. I mean, but the left, it's like anything to hurt a kid. It's their religion.
That's right. And I also found that there's a major allergen, the major allergen in crustaceans is not chitin, but it's actually tropomyosin. And it's also found in insects and mites as well.
Not to mention that everybody knows, you know, you got to devein a shrimp. That's not a bug. But the point is that they're not deveining these bugs. And bugs have a very short intestinal tract. Most of them have really bad parasites.
They do. They have. They don't have a circulatory system, and they have their gastrointestinal tract goes across the length of their whole body practically. But there's no way to get rid of it in that small of an animal, so it's not like you're gutting it like you would a deer or something. And
so you're not just going to eat bugs; you're going to eat bug crap and parasites.
Right, and all the microbes that grow in there. Their crap inside their body. And so those are major problems. And
well, Joe, I don't mean to cut you off, but you called in about Tucker Carlson.
Well, you know, he recently did a report.
He's about to air You Will Eat the Bugs. He had a documentary coming out about Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, I just saw parts of the preview for it on his main show.
Yeah, he signed off Friday with a promo for Eat the Bugs this week.
Yeah, so I tried to send him some information on that,
Yeah, unfortunately, he only focused on the parasites, not the chitin, and all the stuff you said. Thanks for the call. I can talk to you for an hour. We're going to hear everybody. Ray in Missouri, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is a real attempt to turn America and the world around. This is a real attempt to stop World War III. This is a real attempt to save civilization for our children, because there's not just evil in the world, there's good as well. And so you've got to decide that that's happening and join it and promote it and support Trump and support us and spread the word, because that's what they fear is when you get a mission and you get committed and you take action. So tell everybody about the links at Real Alex Jones. Share the articles, share the videos, follow us at Real Alex Jones, and support us at drjonesnaturals.com with the great products. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Get things you need. It takes money to win a war. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. A big sale going on right now. Everybody needs Nitric Boost. It cleans out your blood and flushes all this crap out. Everybody needs the Nano Silver toothpaste and products at drjonesnaturals.com. This is a war!
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, we know there's, you like nothing more than when you go to a barbecue, you know, somebody comes out with roasted crickets, right? That's what we do here in America. We eat bugs. No, that's not what we do here. And we're not going to eat your bugs. We know you're trying to push the bugs on us. This is my message to the system. We don't want your bugs. You eat your bugs, okay? You eat as many bugs as you want. We don't care. We don't care how trendy you try to make it. Like what you're watching there. We don't care how much you're going to push it on us. We don't care how much you raise our prices in food. We're not going to eat them. Yesterday on InfoWars, we had the article, Sign of Things to Come. Singapore approved 16 insects for human food. On the July 8th announcement, Singapore Food Agency approved 16 insects, including silkworm, pupa, and mealworm, with immediate effect. These insects and insect products can be used for human consumption or as animal feed for food-producing animals. So they're trying to push it from above and from below. And my guest, he's an expert horticultural scientist who you can read more about him and what he does on his Substack, joebender.substack.com, or follow him on X, Joe Bender from Florida. It's Joe Bender. Joe, how are you doing today?
Well, thanks, Rob. How are you doing?
Do you have a good breakfast of mealworms this morning?
No, I didn't.
What are you, racist?
Give me. Yes, I'm just trying to destroy the environment by eating meat.
There you go. And what's interesting is like the meat producing, like, you know, pigs eat, you know, kind of garbage waste, but cows take land that you can't really grow stuff on. If you go out in Texas, it's not really land that's good for farming. Some of it is, but the land that's not good for farming, you put cows there, they take the grass, they keep the grass low, and they turn that grass into protein. It's an amazing process that God has given us, these animals that basically protect us from forest fires and field fires and stuff like that, and keep the ground moving by pooping and providing things from their poop and like fertilizer, you know what I mean? And then they turn this into protein. It's amazing. Amazing what we have with these rudiment animals. But you had an article, that you sent that we started talking yesterday on X, and you have an article here, Sick from the Bugs. And I read the article yesterday, and then when I went to it on my desktop, I saw that you had a video from, you called into the Alex Jones Show. When exactly was that call? It had to be at least a year and a half ago or something.
That's my best. I mean, I can't guess any more accurately than that, but something like that.
But you got into it was a short call. It's about 4 minutes long, which actually is a long call for InfoWars standards, because, you know, Alex usually give you about a minute to say what you got to say, and then, you know, he's moving on to the next person. But you had so much to say about it that I really wanted to dive into this. Take the whole hour. I'm not in a rush. I want people to really get some information that they can use to combat this bug agenda that's trying to be shoved literally down our throats. So where would you like to start? Or is it going to be the chitons? Is it going to be the other things that are nasty inside these bugs? I mean, where do you want to start with this?
Well, I guess chitin would be a good place to start. The reason I wrote the article was, as I mentioned in the article, I was interested in how people were talking about chitin causing problems. And I knew as a horticulturalist that fungi, the cell walls of fungi, are made of chitin just like they are in an insect. So then that compelled me to think, well, why, if, you know, I consider mushrooms really healthy, and I like to put them in my coffee, and I like eating, you know, regular button mushrooms you get to the store, or shiitakes. And so I thought, what's the difference in the chitin that makes the cell walls of a fungus versus the chitin that's in the exoskeleton of an insect? And so that got me researching and writing the article there. And what I found was, I think that the main difference, well, there's a couple differences. For one thing, the allergies that people tend to attribute to chitin, I think that sometimes it's not chitin, it's a compound, a group of compounds called tropomyosins that are responsible for allergies in shellfish and mites. And it's known that those tropomyosins are also in insects. And so there's evidence that it could be, you know, there's not as much research into allergies of insects because people haven't really been eating them that much. And we're told that, oh yeah, it's been a food source for thousands of years. But they're kind of popular in parts of Asia. But even over there, in my article, I mentioned a few studies where people were sickened by insects. And so then I looked into why that was. And there's just not as much information about what allergens are in the insects versus shellfish. And people get allergies to dust mites, I found, that when they're sensitized over time to dust mites, that can cause them to get an allergy to shellfish, so that the first time they eat shellfish in their life, they get an allergic reaction. And the opposite can happen, where if they're eating shellfish but they're never exposed to dust mites, and then they go somewhere, say on vacation, and they stay in somebody's house that has, there's dust mites in their pillows or something, they get a reaction.
And so they have chitin on their shell. Is that what it is, or is it something else?
Their exoskeleton is made of chitin. And
the tropomyosin is a compound that is part of the chitin shell?
No, well, it's in the I'm not sure if it's in the shells only, because there are multiple types of tropomyosins. So it's unclear which, to me, at least at this time, which tropomyosins could be responsible, but there are overlapping relationships between the tropomyosins in insects and those in the mites and crustacean shellfish that cause people allergies. So I think that could be one cause of allergies, but there's also toxicity from the sharpness of objects on the insect exoskeleton. And then also when you grind, a lot of these food products have ground insect parts in them, or whole insects, and that grinding process is going to create sharp fragments.
Yeah, let me ask you this before we go any further. Like, so when they make cricket flour, they're actually taking the cricket legs and all and just grinding it up. Am I correct in saying that?
And it's impractical to do it any other way.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to take the legs off each cricket. Or the wings, right, or whatever, or de-shell them. Once you de-shell them, there's not much left.
Right, and you can see on that, in that article, I put a picture, updated it with a photo of an electron micrograph, which is just an image from an electron microscope of the breathing apparatus of a cricket. And you can see surrounding that breathing apparatus, there's a lot of these setae, which are like hairs. And the magnification on that is several hundred times magnification. So it's a gray electron micrograph photo. If you, well, not photo, I shouldn't say, because, well, the difference in an electron microscope, the way they work, they're called scanning electron microscopes. They run a beam back and forth across the sample, and the electrons bounce back off that sample into these detectors, and then an image is compiled from that. That's the right image there.
Yeah, leave that up there, guys. That's disgusting. So that's the inside of a cricket?
That's actually just around on the along the side of any insect. There's these holes called spiracles, and what you're seeing there is zoomed in on a spiracle, that kind of triangular part of the it's a valve that blocks it, keeps liquids from going in if it rains, and so that
it looks there's like, has spike proteins all over it, you know, those little spikes.
Little trichome looking things. There's several of those spiracles, which is that large, like I say, semi-triangular part there along the side of every insect. And that's how they breathe, not through their mouth.
Wow.
Another part of the insect that is like really very hard is the mouth parts. And that goes, that brings us to the issue of sclerotization of chitin. There's a process that hardens the chitin by binding, cross-linking various proteins, and they could be phenolic compounds that are cross-linked in with the chitin and makes it a much more rigid substance than chitin alone. So for example, a caterpillar, its body is relatively soft, but it's mostly chitin. Now caterpillars will have spikes on them or setae that could be irritating as well. But the body, that's an example of chitin on its own. Now, like a beetle, the shell of a beetle is going to be sclerotized chitin. And that's what makes it so much harder. So that's another difference between the chitin in a mushroom versus the chitin in an insect. In an adult insect, it's going to be sclerotized. And the mouth parts are particularly hardened with the sclerotization process. So that makes something that it's probably really nasty in your digestive tract, just like those spikes and setae and spurs. And I think, you know, I mentioned there was I can't remember the NBA player's name, but he got sick from eating crickets and he didn't have an allergic reaction. He just got a really bad gastrointestinal upset. And so I suspect that that was probably from these nasty, sharp insect parts. It occurred to me that there are plants that have these oxalate crystals that, for instance, poi is it's this purple substance that they eat in the luaus in Hawaii. It's like a soupy mashed potato. It's not near as thick as mashed potato, but it's like a soupy substance that's eaten in the luaus, and it's made of this plant called taro. Or you might be familiar. I don't know if they have them in Texas at all, but there's probably elephant ears in people's yards. That's in the same family.
Near the water, you get those.
Yeah, so that's in the same family that has these oxalate crystals. The root of that plant is what gets mashed up and turned into the poi. Well, if you don't cook this stuff, then the oxalate crystals, they create a physical hazard. They're microscopic, just like those uric acid crystals that you had pulled up there earlier that were really sharp looking in the synovial fluid sample. So uric acid crystals are another example. They cause gout. And actually that killed John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost. There you go. Those are uric acid crystals.
Yeah, I think you guys just pulled up.
He had a particularly bad case of gout, and it ended up taking his life.
And so you've got these spiky substrates basically going into your system, and so it's ripping at your intestine and whatnot, and then, you know, causing, I guess, things to go into your intestine that shouldn't, that should be passing through. And so that's the main problem with chitin, is what you see is the structure of it, not the reaction, or does it also react to people, or does the chitin basically rip open a layer? So then when you're eating all the bug parts, which include bug poop and whatever else is in there, it's given, and the parasites, is that giving them a way into your body?
I think that's likely. You know, that we're going to need more studies on all this stuff, but I'm kind of going on theory about, you know, what I want people to look into this more with actual like medical investigation. But it's going to be difficult to determine, I guess, in somebody's intestines exactly what's going on. But you can imagine that these sharp objects are not friendly to the intestines. And you made a good point there that, I mean, people get leaky gut syndrome just from stress from, like, say, running. Marathon runners will get leaky gut syndrome, and bacteria will make their way through the cell walls, the cell membranes of the intestine into the bloodstream. And that causes systemic inflammation in the body. And there's all these, you know, you bring up the pathogens. There are a lot of pathogens and parasites that are vectored by insects. And I found it interesting that in that article that you shared yesterday, they mentioned that the EU had approved Aphthotobius diaporinus, which is it was the larvae of that insect. And that's the lesser mealworm. But if you look up that species, it's considered a vector of animal pathogens. Well, most animal pathogens are going to affect humans as well. So I find that concerning. I mean, why would you want to eat something that is vectoring pathogens and you can't clean out its guts? It's not like you can, it's not like cleaning a deer where you're going to tie off the intestines and remove it carefully and, you know, avoid contaminating the meat. The entire abdomen of an insect is the digestive tract. And it has, you know, an insect has a really rudimentary internal makeup. The body, the entire length of the body, the heart goes along it, and it's more of a like a linear heart, not a roundish heart like we have. And it has multiple sections that squeeze. And then the body is it's bathed in this hemolymph fluid instead of blood. And so they don't have a true circulatory system like we have veins and arteries. Instead, it's kind of just a free-for-all for the fluid to just move around, and then the heart is, like I say, elongated along the entire upper part of the back of the insect. And so then there's no way to remove this stuff. So you're basically going to be eating the insect feces when you eat an insect, which is disgusting.
So like when, you know, I'm from Louisiana and you go to a crawfish boil, the first thing you do before you boil the crawfish is you throw them in salt water so they purge. And then when you purge them, they don't have, in fact, you can actually see it because they have that little vein that runs out the back. The same thing as in shrimp. Vein is clear because you've gotten rid of basically everything that's inside, all the crap that's inside the crawfish. And when they don't do it, you definitely notice it. You can see the vein. It's disgusting. You're supposed to devein shrimp when you do that. But you can't do that with these insects. You just get it all. You get all the poop.
It's really nasty. And so I think, I mean, that it's just we're instinctively repulsed by insects. Mm-hmm. And I think we should go with that instinct,
right,
and not try to. I mean, it's just, I think it's absurd, the whole eat the bugs idea from, you know, our buddy Klaus at the World Economic Forum, or I should say the WEF. They call themselves the WEFers. They're pushing this stuff on us. I don't think it's not for our health. It's not for the environment. It's to get a monopoly on a new industry. Same thing happened with the Bolshevik Revolution. The Wall Street bankers funded the Bolshevik Revolution, not so much because they were particularly keen for the communist ideology necessarily, but more so because they wanted to reset Russia and have their foot in the door at the ground level of a brand new market. So by, you know, Bill Gates, he's trying to fight beef production at the same time as he's promoting these insects. And that's just, you know, they're using the government to police their competition and come up, you know, on top in a brand new market.
Right. You make cows bad. You tax cows. There's less people having cows. You put out a bird flu, which makes people cull their chickens. Then you go around and you say, well, if you have backyard chickens, we got to cull these or at least mark them so we can come cull them later. And then the food prices spike on good protein. And then their alternative is, oh, we've got protein. Don't worry. But it's bugs and we're going to grind them up and you're just going to eat bug poop. And that's just the way it is because, well, you know, you want a good environment, don't you? You don't want the carbon. And we'll get into the carbon, too, I think, coming up in the next. Let's get into the climate change, so-called climate Great. Change benefits they're trying to spew on us, where they say carbon's bad. But, you know, we could talk about what you do and how you put more, you know, increase in CO2. But, you know, yeah, fart bags on top of cows. I mean, this is crazy what they're trying to do. They're trying to dehumanize everything. Lizards eat insects. Birds eat insects. What else eat in insects? Frogs eat insects. Humans don't eat insects because we're not designed to eat them. Our bodies aren't made to do that. Now, we got a couple minutes before we go to break. Well, how come birds and other animals are able to eat insects and we're not?
One thing, you know, you got to think at the level of their mouth parts are, you know, maybe better designed for it. But no matter what, I think, you've seen dogs. I don't know if you've seen this, but my friend's dog ate razor blades. And for whatever reason, that was able to, they were like from a shaving razor, they were able to pass through the digestive system. And another friend's dogs, he would feed them the bones of the deer that he killed, and they would be able to break down completely the carcass and eat the long shards of like femur bones, and those things would break into these like dagger-like segments. And so I think, you know, certain animals have their digestive tracts are designed differently than ours, and they may have, like, if they're a meat eater only, they have not nearly as long of a small intestine, because they don't need to absorb the food, when they don't eat a fibrous plant matter like us. And so they don't have the same teeth. They don't have the same intestines. Like dogs don't, canines and other carnivores don't have nearly as long of a digestive tract. So that could be a factor. And also there's a chitinase is the enzyme that breaks down chitin. And it has been found in humans, but generally chitin's considered indigestible. And it acts as dietary fiber in a human, just like cellulose in a plant does.
So it just passes through, and because it's got all these little sharp edges to it, it's basically, it is like eating razor blades, going through your intestine, little razor blades, cutting you up, letting other things in, because once you break your skin, that allows infection to come in. Okay, so it's the same thing on the inside as it is on the outside. We'll be back with our guest, Joe Bender. We're going to talk about CO2 and why they want to make us eat the bugs. Stay tuned. You're watching The American Journal. I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Life line. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement
can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Assassins need payrolls, schedules, times, orders. This was a military-style ambush from start to finish. This was a coup d'etat.
Seen his face when it hit, just his ear blew off.
Its most direct and tragic result was the reversal of President Kennedy's commitment to withdraw from Vietnam. A war is the biggest business in America, worth $80 billion a year.
The deep state is coming after me even harder since I pledged to swiftly end the war in Ukraine. So I will have that settlement done within 24 hours.
This has been another public service announcement. Paid for by the Dilly Meme Team.
Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Bulletproof t-shirt's out. We need the support. It's an amazing shirt. Support InfoWars. We support Trump. Get the new Bulletproof President Trump shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be back.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for a very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
It's a warm day here in the American Journal studios, I'm not going to lie. InfoWars moved into this building in, I think, January of 2009. I joined in February of 2009. So this is the only building I've ever been in. We've expanded over the years. And one thing, if you've ever been here or ever been a guest, or Alex Jones likes his air conditioning. We keep it pretty cold here. And so when an air conditioning unit goes out, you know, just by walking into that area, because there's a lot of units on the roof here. And well, the one in this studio has gone out. It went out yesterday. Of course, the day after the air conditioning guys fixed another one on the other side. So, but it's going to get, apparently it's going to get fixed on Monday. So that's why I'm in I dropped my jacket, because it is getting warm in here and we're turning on fans in the breaks. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We are talking about bugs and the people, you know, that told you, that are telling you that you want to eat bugs, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab. They also told you to take your vaccines. And here we have journalist who criticized Aaron Rodgers for his views on COVID-19 vaccines dies unexpectedly at 43. Matt Driscoll, 43-year-old columnist and opinion editor for the News Tribune, died unexpectedly at his Tacoma home on Sunday. He was announced by his news network. But he basically went after Aaron Rodgers for not wanting to take the vaccine. And then, you know, he dies unexpectedly. We'll never know why, you know, dies unexpectedly or dies suddenly is the new term that they've been using. Well, the new term, relatively new term they've been using to categorize people, you know, when they don't know. Nobody knows. We'll never find out. We have no idea why these people die. But, hey, trust us. The vaccine's good. And also trust us. Eat the bugs. You know, so just remember that the same people that are telling you to eat these bugs and take these vaccines are dying unexpectedly. So just remember that as you put those bugs in your mouth. And, you know, they're doing it with this sick Hollywood trend. You know, there's videos out there that was Nicole Kidman we've been showing a lot. But there's one of Angelina Jolie. She's, I think, in Africa with the Africans, and she's eating beetles and spiders and stuff like that. It's totally disgusting. It's not what we're designed to eat. And my guest also agrees. He agrees with that. And he's also written articles about it. He's a scientist and horticulturalist. You can read his article, Sick from the Bugs. You could find it on my X. I'll post it again at the break. I'll post it at the top, so it'll be up there so you can read it. And because it's got a lot of good information in it. And here's the big thing, Joe. You know, just like the vaccines where they say they have tons of studies and they're safe and effective, there aren't a ton of studies about bugs being safe and effective. They haven't done those studies. What have you found in your research? How many studies are out there, and why isn't this being done even though they want us to eat this as food?
Well, you know, looking through any scientific literature, it's kind of hard to quantify how much is out there. But when you search any one term, you know, you might see a plethora of papers come up or not so many. And I would put the edible insects in that second category where, you know, you're looking for a needle in a haystack instead of the haystack being the, you know, sorting through the straw of the haystack. Whereas a lot of subjects out there, it's harder to figure out to find the papers that are really specific on the topic you're looking for. And they're in a, you know, if you're looking up something about painkillers, you're going to find a billion papers. You know, it'd be ridiculous compared to looking through finding insect papers. So you're really much more limited. So I think there's a dearth of information about it, but it's because nobody's been really thrilled to eat insects, I think. So what you brought up the shots. I just find that it's ridiculous that the scientific community has known since 1970 that reverse transcription, there's an enzyme, there's five different enzymes in the body, or they're called transposons. These mechanisms for reverse transcribing RNA to DNA. And when that was discovered back in 1970, they called that they said that went against the central dogma of genetics. And so it's like,
but it's literally RNA's job is to create DNA.
Well, no, the central dogma that they're referring to is DNA gets transcribed into RNA, and then RNA is translated into the proteins that your body uses. Mm-hmm. So the reverse of that, there are these five different mechanisms. Well, there's four in the human body, and then there's retroviruses like AIDS or HIV, I should say, has another retrotransposon mechanism that reverse transcribes the RNA back into DNA. And so they've acted like that doesn't exist. I remember when the shots were first coming out, this is when I started researching the medical literature that I have available to me, which is limited because I don't have access through University of Florida like I used to. But The scientists in 1970 found that out. And then since then, now they're acting like that it didn't happen. Remember Mark Zuckerberg saying, the way I understand it, that it can change your DNA. And then he had to backtrack and try to cover that up. But he was right. And
was that an interview with Fauci or with Gates? I think it was an interview he did with him because he asked him about that point blank.
I can't remember which one of those it was, if it was either. But it's just shocking that they would cover that up. So that got me telling people, hey, look, this could be changing your DNA. And now there's a paper that I don't know if it ever got through the peer review process, which is that's another issue. But there's a paper that shows that the Pfizer BioNTech 1283, I guess it is, that RNA molecule gets reverse transcribed within only a matter of minutes in what they call in vitro, so in glass, in a culture vessel. They've shown that cells that are introduced cells that have the RNA from Pfizer introduced to them, they take up that RNA and reverse transcribe it into DNA in no time. So there's no reason to believe that's not happening in the body as well. But like I said, the peer review process is another issue. Peer review has become nothing more than the policing of scientism, where you have this, basically there's this giant narrative, if you will. It's like a puzzle with the edges aren't filled in on the puzzle. And anything that fits into those edges of the puzzle, they accept into the science narrative, and they say this is the science. And that's also a fallacious way of determining truth. I mean, they think people are told that if this new discovery, the way they explain the new discovery, if that explanation fits in to the current paradigm, then it must be acceptable. And anything that doesn't fit into that paradigm, they say it's pseudoscience. But that's the exact opposite of science.
Most of these studies, we're about to go to break. Most of these studies are funded by the drug companies. They're looking for a predetermined outcome. And so they get that outcome. Otherwise, these testing companies wouldn't be in business anymore. So the testing companies are looking for that outcome. And then the journals just go, hey, how do you think we're funded, people? You know?
Yep, the funding directs to you by Pfizer.
We'll be right back, and let's get into what you do, and especially we'll talk a little bit about climate change, because they're worried about carbon, even though we know that doesn't really have any effect on our climate.
So number one, you've got central banks now starting to buy it by the tons, right? It's a lot. You've now got Chinese citizens being encouraged to not just buy gold, but buy silver, because China Russia want to destroy the Western banks. And the Western banks, JP Morgan Chase and HSBC, have the largest number of naked short positions on the planet. On the planet. I think between the two of them, they have over 900 million ounces of silver in short position. Well, only 1.2 billion ounces of silver is mined every year globally. So they've got almost the entire annual production in a short position. That means when the price goes up, these banks lose money hand over fist in multiples. China knows this, which is why they're encouraging all of their citizens now to buy not just gold, but buy silver, because that creates more demand. Every time silver goes up in price, the Western banks lose money in multiples because they're on the wrong side of the transaction. They want to do it to destroy the West, and they want to do it to make a financial gain. Both of those, in their minds, are legitimate enough reasons to do something, right? But let's look at silver, because that's what we're allocated into right now, because the ratio between gold and silver points towards silver. It's outperforming. Where were we just 4 years ago? 1191. But now since then, we've gone from 1191 to almost 30 in the last 4 years. See, the trend is accelerating because the geopolitical dynamics are causing its growth. It's not just a flight for safety. It's not just a way to preserve and protect your freedoms and get out of these unified ledgers and these social credit scoring systems and this digital money, you're getting something tangible that actually doesn't just grow. It's growing tremendously. It's up like 40% in 4 months. That's amazing. But you also have something that can maintain your freedoms, Alex. That's the tangible intangible, which is as our freedoms
are
eroded.
I can't believe we have millions of viewers right now and maybe 500 people call you. It's a sponsor. I only promote what I think is great. So I sell water filtration systems that have the highest rating for like half the price on average. And I sell high quality supplements. I just sell stuff that I think is great. Everybody should call you and get into silver and gold right now. There's nothing performing as good as it. I mean, it's like it's on record. It's the best investment, but the stockbrokers won't tell you that. The globalist argument is, oh, the world's in turmoil and everything's collapsing. We got to be strong. And America's got to threaten Russia and China to keep us as the dollar. But they're the ones that undermine the currency. They're the ones that brought us into this situation. And so that's why this is so incredibly dangerous. This is trying to kill Trump just, 10, 11 days ago. They are going for broke. I wish we weren't in this position, but we are. But by admitting where we are, we have a real chance of waking up, like Congress saying, we know you tried to kill Trump. Buying silver is the smartest bet there is. You'd have bought silver a year ago, up 20, 30%. That's what you want. And silver is the big mover in this economy. So go now to kepm.com/gold or 720-605-3900. We'll explain it all to you. Most of the gold and silver companies are charging you huge 30, 40, 50% premiums. And most of the conservative talk show hosts are doing it too. And I talk to them in person. I say, you need Kirk Elliott.
What does Goldman Sachs think gold is going to do before the end of the year? $2,700 an ounce.
And I'm sitting here saying, it funds us, it keeps us on air, and it's the best investment, hands down, in an imperfect world. I mean,
this is, to me, is one of the most important things to protect your financial future ever.
Go now to kepm.com/gold.
And adding more lanes, we are building a religion, a limited edition. We are now accepting callers for these pendant.
We're on the backside of the second hour of the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for joining me. Sitting in for the great Harrison Smith. As we talk about this insanity that's going on, where they're trying to tell us bugs are good for us and cows are bad, I'm going to show you, the Krasenstein brothers. I don't know how else to say it, but here's a poll they put out. One of them put out, Brian, put out a poll for Trump and Kamala. 187,800 people voted in this poll. That's a high sampling. That's high. And this guy is, you know, he's like leader of the Dimtards. And, you know, I've had beers with these guys. I don't think they're evil. They're definitely getting paid to do what they do. I don't agree with a lot of what they say. But anyway, 72-24. And then Ed posted a poll. Kamala Harris has overtaken Trump in two more new polls that were released today. So New York Times and a Siena poll. And I looked up the Yahoo poll that came out around this time that showed them neck and neck. And it shows Kamala, I think, at 44 versus 43. Well, there's another one that showed Trump 2 points ahead. It was a Yahoo poll. And they polled 6% more Democrats than Republicans. So that's what they're doing. They're polling, they're asking more Democrats. They have lists of who they call. You know, they know who they're calling. So they have lists. But when you put out a poll on, say, X, you get 72-24. So someone posted on this, 3 a.m., machine's broken, Kamala 52, Trump 49. Who are we kidding? That's, you know, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to keep these polls neck and neck, mainly so they keep spending money to advertise, because that's just another big part of the scam, is to keep advertising money going. That's why they're so close all the time. Oh, there's no third party. Oh, it's just so close. But when you look at it, when you look at something like X, and somebody, one of the Krasenstein brothers puts a poll out, and it's 72-24. Oh, but don't look at that poll. Don't look at that poll. Because that's where I think the real numbers are. All right. My guest is Joe Bender. Joe, let's get into what you do. And there was an article that came out on the High Wire. New peer-reviewed study, CO2 has zero impact on climate change. Climate change, not necessarily having effects on parts of the climate, because we could talk about how as CO2 is increasing, we've seen a greener planet, and you have direct experience with that. Could you please explain to people what you do and how you make plants grow?
Well, I've kind of gotten out of the medical cannabis industry now, being disgusted with how it's set up with like a corporate socialism structure where you've got this cartel essentially of companies. And I don't want to, you know, demean anybody who's involved in it, but I think the politicians who've set it up are responsible for creating these laws where you've got a small group of people earning licenses, and I've helped earn those licenses. Like in New Jersey, I was the head grower for Breakwater Treatment and Wellness, and it's a great company. We had to earn one of these six licenses, and there's 35 people competing. There's 35 applications to get them, and it was an expensive process, and there's potential there for favoritism. And that's how it's gone in all these states. They claim that they're doing the right thing to protect the patients or protect the growers, the producers, the dispensaries in a, you know, with the legal environment where you still got it federally illegal. So anyway, all that has, there's just, every time you say I'm in the medical cannabis business, you hear people say, oh, there's a lot of money in that. So that's the kind of the drive. And it's disgusting when you're working at a place where you've got these sick patients coming in. I knew a guy who had multiple sclerosis and he had gained the ability to finally hold his wife's hand after using one of my strains. And you know, you see that type of thing, or you see people coming in without their legs. They lost them from diabetes, or a guy that he was finally able to walk without his walker after using one of my strains for a couple months. And you hear that type of thing, that makes you feel great. But then when you talk to people about being in the industry, they're like, oh, there's a lot of money in that. And that's kind of the attitude that you see when you go to I went to the medical cannabis convention, or it's really the cannabis convention in Las Vegas one year. And just the top guys in the business are just, there's a lot of nasty people, I think. And, it's a great thing overall for helping people. But anyway, I've gotten away from that. But in that industry, we use CO2. I had a 600-pound CO2 tank put outside the building where I had these grow rooms, and they'd come and fill it up. There was a delivery service that would come fill up the tank, and then it's piped into each one of the grow rooms, and you'd use these infrared sensors to monitor the level of CO2 in the room and open a solenoid valve accordingly to keep the level at three times the atmospheric concentration, which is about 350 ppm normally. That's the atmospheric concentration. And we would boost that up to 1,000 parts per million. And that doesn't cause any adverse effect on humans. And it makes the plants grow up to 150% more. The yields can be about 150% as high. You have to raise the temperatures a little bit to keep the metabolism of the plant at a level that can take advantage of that CO2. But anyway, if the CO2 level in the Earth's atmosphere were to triple, I mean, we're talking about, it's only 0.04%. So it's this tiny, tiny amount. It's a trace gas, and they say it's a greenhouse gas. But if you were to put a layer of CO2 in a container of sorts, then you would be able to have like a blanket layer of it. And that, then it could act as a greenhouse gas. I mean, in truth, the molecules have the ability to deflect heat back into the, back toward the Earth. But that would be assuming that you have an actual layer. Not only is it only 0.04% of the atmosphere, that is at ground level. And CO2 is heavier than the rest of the atmosphere, so it sinks. So in the upper atmosphere, it's even at a lower level. So you can imagine if you have roughly one out of every like 2,800 molecules of gas in the atmosphere being CO2. How can one in every 2,800 molecules create a greenhouse effect? It's pretty absurd. It's kind of like I compare it to claiming that you're going to use like a chain link fence as a blanket. There's no blanket effect.
Or a when mask you have... to stop a virus.
Right. That's a perfect example.
Yeah,
exactly.
We've gone topsy turvy. Like you said, with the cannabis industry, they've created a system where only certain people are going to get through the process. Not necessarily the best products, but the people who are able to maneuver through the system. Now you've got it with people are coming in going, oh, climate change is bad, because they're making money on climate change being bad, and CO2 is the one thing that they've identified that they can control. Oh, what is that? That's CO2. Okay, so if you're worried about mouth breathers and when I say that, I mean the population. Well, what a better way to help cull the population and control the population than by controlling who breathes and who can't breathe? That's it right there. That's what it's all about. It has nothing to, that's why they want you to eat the bugs, because they want you to have a lower quality of life. So you're easily controllable at the end of the day.
It reminds me, Rob, if you've seen that scene in Spaceballs where they're sucking they're using a giant vacuum. There's like a robot maid sucking the atmosphere off the planet. There's an absurdity to the idea that it causes climate change. But then, you know, notice that they have gone to this ambiguous, nebulous change boogeyman. Not, you know, they used to say it's warming, I guess, in the 70s.
It was cooling than warming.
Cooling.
Yeah.
And now they just say it's change. So then anything can fit into their change category.
Exactly. And bugs definitely fit into that change. We've got a minute left. Tell people how they can find more of your work. And I think it's great. I hope you keep doing it. I hope you keep speaking out, because we need more people like you that aren't controlled by these giant corporations telling us what we can eat and what we can breathe.
Yeah, thanks. The Bender Observatory is my Substack. You can just go to joebender.substack.com. And I'm on X at Joe Bender from Florida. Or it's Joe Bender from capital F, FL. Capital L.
Okay. Hey, let me give out the number real quick. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. We're going to open up the phone system. I'm going to take your calls all hour, and we've got a video of why Joe Biden might look like Joe Biden of now. We think we might have found the reason why, and it has to do with the number of vaccines he's put in his body. It's a lot, and you can look at him now, it doesn't look good.
All right, folks, BrainForce Ultra is back in stock. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I started working here at InfoWars, I didn't believe that supplements really worked. I thought these were just products that people consumed for peace of mind and that our body would flush them out. But one of the first products I ever took was BrainForce Plus, which is the capsule version of BrainForce Ultra. And this is actually more powerful than BrainForce Plus. But the first time I ever took BrainForce Plus, I noticed within 20 minutes that I had a change in my state of mind. And ever since then, I believed in our products and I believed in supplementation as an important part of health. So BrainForce Ultra is particularly special because it's a more potent and convenient form than BrainForce Plus. Now, it's not only going to help you with enhanced cognitive function, focus, but it also is going to help you with increased energy levels. We know that the formula includes yerba mate leaf and green tea leaves, both of which contain natural caffeine and polyphenols. These components provide a sustained energy boost without the crash. Ashwagandha root and ginkgo leaf are included for their adaptogenic and antioxidant properties. Not only will this product help enhance mental clarity and focus, enhance energy levels, but it will do so in a way that reduces stress, so you don't feel the anxiety associated with too much caffeine, energy drinks, perhaps like an Adderall or a nicotine. These are all great reasons to buy BrainForce Ultra from InfoWarsStore.com. But perhaps the best reason to get this product, BrainForce Ultra, from InfoWarsStore.com is because by buying products from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep InfoWars on the air. Now, we know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that there's a war on for your mind, that the globalists and transhumanists and the New World Order are trying to conglomerate all political power so they can subjugate humanity for the indefinite future. But we're not going to let that happen, because we're going to do things like go to InfoWarsStore.com. We're going to get BrainForce Ultra. Ultra. We're going to fight and win the war that is on for our minds, all while keeping InfoWars on the air. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now, get BrainForce Ultra, and be the reason we are still on the air.